All right, well, let me jump on into the Right Side Way opening monologue. And I'll remind you guys that, every single day, attorney Stan McDonald, he is indeed the sponsor of the Right Side Way monologue. And I'll tell you more about Stan McDonald here in just a few minutes. All right. So there's a lot of talk in the news today about federal employees. Yes, I'm going there again. I have to. You know, it's amazing to me this is where we are. On the one hand, private sector employees and owners of small businesses are sick and tired of feeling like government employees don't understand the economic realities that come from having an organization that is oversized and inefficient. At the same time, there are a bunch of folks who serve honorably in government service who somehow feel persecuted, unappreciated for quietly going about their work every single day in the employment of our government. Okay, those two perspectives are not mutually exclusive. We have a right to feel that government's too big. They have a right to feel their job is at risk for no reason of their own doing. But there's a sector in the middle that doesn't get it at all. There's a sector that has descended into the world of griping and complaining because they don't feel they should have to answer to anyone. And that, my friends, is a dangerous and unproductive mindset. Well, I say all this in the wake of yesterday's show, in which it became kind of a viral moment as listeners took sides on the questions of whether or not government employees should have to answer an email telling them their high points for the past week. This morning at 6 a.m., I got an email from one of our listeners. I won't say his name. I will tell you this, we've dialogued back and forth on email, and generally speaking, while we had differing of views on certain parts of it, we were also in agreement. But this listener first expressed to me that he listens to the show regularly, he has years of military service, and he's now a GS employee at Redstone Arsenal. Okay. He then proceeded to tell me how beset he and others feel by the request for the email. They feel degraded somehow by yesterday's show. They feel that they're under threat, being given orders by their local command structure not to respond and ask what my position was on whether they should defy local orders they say they've been given to not respond to the DC request. Now, he may have been surprised, but I already responded to him this morning. And this is what I said. I'm going to read you exactly what I said to him. I said, first of all, thanks for your service, in uniform and out. I said, I have a family that's filled with folks who serve or have served in the civilian ranks of government. And what you described in your email is not accurate. There's a great level of dissatisfaction in the private sector, I said, with the notion that employees in the GS sector shouldn't have to respond to an email requested and supported by their president slash commander in chief. I said, you and I both know that the only orders that should not be followed are those that are immoral, unethical, or illegal, but being popular is not one of the criteria for choosing not to respond. That said, I said, if you are receiving mixed signals from your superiors, then your role as a subordinate leader is to seek clarity. It also means that you may have to set aside emotion and not misinterpret every dissenting viewpoint as being a threat to you because they're not. And then I said, me personally, I say answer the email. Send it to your own boss. Let him or her collect them and be the one who decides whether or not to forward it up the chain. If you're proud of your work, I said, and you can report it in generality without compromising matters of national security or personnel data or contract negotiations, then send the comms and let your boss decide whether to put the rounds downrange. Doing nothing is never an option, I said. And then I ended by saying, thanks for your service, thanks for listening, I hope you'll stay in the ruffian community. Look, here's the thing. Years ago, when I was a young lieutenant training at Fort Benning, Georgia, several of us got sick and tired of being sick and tired. It was not necessarily the training, the sweat, or the long hours, but more about the sour attitudes that were beginning to develop as all the infantry training shaped our every fiber. A bunch of Joes in boots and filled with testosterone, we can always find something to gripe about, right? It becomes an art form if you get down to it. Complaining can be done on an epic scale when you're in that kind of locker room style environment. Sometimes it can be funny, like a total hoot. Complaining can be right downright, you know, hilarious, but sometimes the griping and the whining gets old. And in my platoon at that particular point, it had reached an epic scale. It was complaining about food, about weather, about leadership. Everything was met with complaints. But then a group of us, we got tired of it all, and we made a pact in my platoon that anyone caught openly complaining had to buy a round for the others in the group. And others took note, and it began to change some of the tone in our platoon. Our standing rule became, you're allowed to make a statement of fact, but the true complaining was not allowed. And it was a good move. Not always successful, but it was a good move for us then. Look, when we kicked off Right Side Radio 4 years ago, I said up front that my goal was not to become one of those shows that just sits around and complains. God knows I could. I mean, there's always something to complain about, right? I mean, as a conservative and a former elected Republican, I've got what I refer to as a target-rich environment out there for complaints. But I hope you've taken note that on this show, we will try to laugh, sometimes at ourselves, and then we'll try to tell you why the sun's still going to rise tomorrow, and we'll take the time to point out the good with the bad. So the Biden era is behind us, right? Having said all that, the Biden era is behind us, and for many of us, that is a relief. But elections have consequences, and there's a new sheriff in town, and like it or not, he's actually the one in charge. And in a year filled with things that we could complain about, I've got to tell you that I've also seen some high points. They're there. Pay attention. They're real. There have been some moments of brilliance. And I can also tell you for a fact that, yes, I've had some great government employees in my family. People who served in the federal GS ranks, the military, state government, elected officials, educators, all in my family, all drawing a government paycheck. I can also attest to several times when government employees did something that dramatically blessed my life. I had one lady who I know for a fact helped save my military career when the Army Human Resources Command didn't have my paperwork straight. I had another one who insisted that the backlog of promotions get straightened out so that my promotion to full colonel would not fall out of line based on time alone. I once had a situation where a family vacation trip that was scheduled after one of my deployments was almost cut short because my birth certificate couldn't be located. It was lost somewhere in Army records. My birth certificate. I literally had to call back to New Jersey where I was born at a former Army installation and find somebody, anybody, who knew where the records were kept from the archives of a place that no longer existed. And this one sweet lady made it her mission in life to ransack the archives of Monmouth County, New Jersey, find my birth certificate, actually FedEx it to my hotel so my wife and I could take a much-needed trip together after being gone to the war zone for a year. Look, those were all examples of above and beyond behavior by government employees who did more than they had to do, and they did it without complaint. It is also worth noting that each one of those moments were one government employee having to fix the mess made by other government employees. But they didn't complain. They didn't post ugly things on their social media. They didn't run to CNN or MSNBC or call their union reps for assistance. They did their job because it was the right thing to do, and they did it with excellence. And I'll be honest with you. If a day later, after each one of those things had been done that blessed me, if a day later those same government employees who had blessed me and my family by doing their jobs with excellence were asked by their supervisor to list five things in an email they had accomplished, I'm going to bet they would have proudly said a whole paragraph about what they did for some guy named Phil Williams. And they wouldn't have complained. And they wouldn't have griped. And they wouldn't have whined that an email is hard or that you have no business asking that. They would have proudly typed out that email and hit send with an air of satisfaction because they're the kind of folks who are proud of what they've done and they knew that it was worth telling somebody about. All said and done, my point is that complaining doesn't do any good. We can always complain. It's the doing of things that makes the difference. And I'm going to make a commitment to you that I will always endeavor to keep this show in such a manner that it's not just a 3-hour gripe session. But to be sure, I will always tell you statements of fact that I believe are worthy of note. So here's my worthy of note point today. Anybody can complain. Anybody can gripe. But in the end, it's the doers that find their way through the storms to the clear skies on the other side that really set the agendas. So there ain't no use in complaining, my friends. Answer the freaking email. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way.